We are on the air. It is Saturday, September 16th, and another episode of the Don and Wynn Show. Don, are you there? You're not there. Okay. This is the Don and Wynn Show minus Don, and we're going to do something that we did a few weeks ago that was kind of successful, and that was...
No, I'm here.
I do occasionally these workshops at the Holistic Living Expo.
Are you still there?
These are workshops that travel all over Southern and Northern California. And I'm doing one now. And we're in the backyard of the Goddess Temple in Irvine.
I'm going to break into our show here.
Am I on yet, Don?
Yes.
Am I on?
You're on, buddy. I don't know what you're on, but you're on.
You just said we're going to break into our show.
Yeah, just to say hi to the audience again, because
you're going to break into the show.
Yeah, because you called for me, and I figured, hey, you're running.
No, I wanted you to say hello.
Yeah, well, hello.
Okay.
Hello, how are you? Mom?
Hi.
Hi.
This is Don's mom. Saying hello to.
How are you?
Our most loyal listener.
We do, and in fact, you have a couple of Europeans listening to you as well.
I wanted to thank Gildy for making a nice comment on my songs on CD Baby. Your mother gave me a testimonial.
Right? She did, huh?
Yeah.
See, that's the beauty of my mother. Everything.
Your mother is a gem.
Yeah, she is.
She is.
I know.
I wish I had a mother. I had a very nice mother. Going to take that chair, too? This one, too? This, too? Oh. We're going to be sitting on the grass here at the Goddess Temple. They're moving us around.
You know what's interesting? Our volume levels are about the same, considering I'm breaking in the back way and you're doing something different and it matches. It's amazing.
Our volume levels are the same?
Yeah. And I'm going in the back way. Usually I overshadow everybody.
Well, why do you think that is?
I know.
So, just to give you a scenario of the day... I gave a talk this afternoon to a group of people. It was called The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce.
Mm-hmm.
And Dean has like a little expo. In fact, I was trying to get you together with Dean at one point. And he has a little expo where he has little booths and
psychics
clairvoyance. And in fact, if you remember, we had that couple, Michael and his wife.
I had a couple.
A man and a woman.
Okay, folks, I'm not kinky, really. I'm enjoying this as much as you are.
He would channel, and she would draw pictures of people.
Oh.
Remember? On the other side. And then
Right.
So they were actually exhibitors here.
Exhibitors would be a good word.
Next week we're going to have a really interesting guy on. His name is Gregory Hogue. Gregory makes geometric structures out of sacred geometry that manage to bring in really high levels of stuff into this realm.
That's wonderful.
He's being guided by the Elohim on how to structure these things so they work.
Isn't that fabulous?
So,
yeah.
He's a very interesting guy to talk to.
We don't even talk much anymore.
Huh?
Because we're so busy, both of us.
Yeah, well...
You know?
We have to be the catalyst. Okay, now we're going to sit on the grass. Hang on a second.
You know, folks, when Wynn...
Getting grounded here.
When Wynn and I started...
Well, we got to do our show. I'm on the air.
When Wynn and I started this about
a
year ago...
We're losing our energy. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sitting on it. Get it away. They're taking our chairs away, so we have to sit on the lawn.
This
is life in the real way.
Well, that's look, you know, you're royalty.
When you're royalty, you're royalty.
You know? So let them take your chairs.
Let them take the chairs, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we could go drive to a coffee shop, but then we'd have to take our whole listening audience with us.
Well, you know, I'd love to take our listening audience everywhere, and that's why we do what we do, because we get to take you
that's
everywhere.
That's why you have shows many hours a day, right?
We do.
I have been talking to this wonderful lady named Jill, who, can I talk about you?
Well,
who's in Encinitas.
Jack?
One of those people.
Jack.
That's a wanderer.
Jack.
What?
When?
Yes.
I'm going to let
you... It's not the Don and Jack show. It's the Don and Wynn show.
Yes. Well, I'm going to let you and Jill carry on.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we've lost our whole flow of non-linearity, which now we have to catch it back. Are they going to take this or not? Well, move it out of the way, because our energy has been totally fragmented. Just over there is fine. We can take it the rest of the way. So we're sitting here. We have Terry. We have Jill and myself. Don't, Terry, just leave it right there. Leave it right there. We're moving couches. Terry! And so we've been sitting for 2 hours. And what have we been talking about, Jill? Do you remember? Yeah. Jill hasn't read my book. And now I got to think about what to talk about that's going to be interesting. See, I've got all this pressure because I've got all these listeners, and I'm supposed to be interesting now for the next hour. What a challenge, okay? Yeah? So what I'll do is I'll talk about sex. That always gets people's attention. And Don just perked up his ears. Actually, now, you know, I wish I could get questions and answers, because now people will all call up. Now that I brought up everyone's hot button, sex, I'm not going to ask you anything about it. Okay, now that I've got your attention, we'll talk about it. Jill, ask me a question. Okay, you ask me a question after the last 2 hours. What is it that you would like to know about all of this? Trigger me.
What can I constructively do on a daily basis?
Okay. Joe asked, what can she constructively do on a daily basis to improve my life with this? Well, we have been talking for the last 2 hours. I'm just going to pull you guys into the energy of this. At least I'll try to. And we've been talking about group souls and how group souls interact with us. And that I have the experience, and I've had other people around me share this experience, that group souls, and of course, somebody was just thinking, what is a group soul? Now I have to tell them what a group soul is. Okay. According to all my understanding and information, which comes from writing my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and 4 years of personal experience with one of these group souls channeling to me, a group soul may be best understood as an advanced form of us. That if we go through enough lifetimes, we end up being a group soul, and we act as a helper, guide, or God form for another planet that's at a lower level of evolution. And the universe just keeps recycling like this. It's just like your body. I always make the correlation of the cells of your body are very much like you and me. Like, you make up your body, and it's got billions of cells in it, and that you don't talk to your individual cells. You would be like God, and you don't, you're all that is in terms of all your cells, but your individual cells are like you and I here, and we're like cells in the body of God. And group souls are like grouping of cells. So your heart is a grouping of cells, and that communicates with your cells. And your nervous system is a grouping of cells, and that communicates with your cells. And your brain is a grouping of cells. So there's all these subgroupings that communicate much more directly with your cells than you do, or how you identify yourself as you, except it all happens automatically. And so group souls are groupings of souls that come together to create a function to help souls that are more estranged from the source. They're closer to the source, and the group souls are, and we are like the cells that are like on the big toe that are far away from the source, and so they can communicate with us. They can communicate with us vibrationally. They can come into our space. They can come into our space of energy. They can come into our dreams. Some people can get messages from them and translate it into the English language. And so I have the unusual circumstance of this ongoing communication with two group souls. And, you know, I tell people that hear me say this, don't believe that this is true, because it's something you should check out. You should check out my website, conversationswithmygirlfriend.com. You should read my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And I always invite people, if anyone wants the last 6 months of questions and answers with the Elohim, please email me at winfree@yahoo, WYNNFREE@yahoo. And I will email them back to you at no charge, because I want people to read this stuff, because there's questions answered that I don't think have ever been answered. I've never heard answered, and certainly not easily availably answered, about how the big picture of everything works. So, how do you make this work in everyday life? Okay? Well, I can say that one of the things that I did was I started to say, what if I am a representative of a group soul on this planet? What if I'm their connection point? Now, of course, it's easy for me to say that because I'm having channeled information and all this stuff. But when I'm not having the channeled information, I'm another human, just like everyone else. Except they've convinced me that they're real. And so I said, what if I'm their, how would it feel to be their representative now? Well, the way to be their representative is to say, okay, you guys can work with me and lift up the vibration at this moment. I'm open. I have a relationship with you. I intend for that, if that's for the highest good, that I can be, just where I am, a radiation of group soul energy or whatever you want to call it, into the space. Of course, they don't care whether you call them God, group soul, Elohim, or Coca-Cola. All they care about is the purity of your intent and your desire to be of service, your willingness not to use any of this energy for self-serving reasons, but for the highest good. Now, it's okay to be self-serving. I mean, when you're hungry, you have to eat. You know, it's just that that's not the function of this relationship. So the first thing is to develop a rapport with these energies where you know if you ask, they will be in your space without fail. And it takes practice for a while. It takes practice to tune into their frequency, to let them tune into your frequency. The reading their words helps tune into their frequency. The conversations, questions and answers with Elohim are their direct words, so you can tune into their frequency. Now, I'm talking about the Elohim. There's the other group soul, which is Ra, and you can tune into their frequency. Some people will be more connected to one. Some people will be more connected to the other. Some people will be connected to both. And so figure out which one you have the most connection to. You can often tell by reading their words. They will both probably touch you, but one will touch you more, and that's the one that if you're going to call, if you need to call on one, then call on that one. If you want to call on both, that's fine, because they're both, as far as I can tell, they're both very willing and open to working with anyone who calls on them. In fact, that's why they're there. They're there to be that. Now, this goes beyond just a normal, a lot of us have guides and angelic forces. This goes beyond that. This goes into a huge energy of creation that is beyond your normal guides and angels. You know, normal guides help you in your human life, so to speak. Like, oh, should I call Mary or Joe tonight for a date? Or something. But when you're working with a group soul, there's a really big level of, bigger level of responsibility. Because now, you know, if you really connect with them, if they connect with you, they will, and you start to know it, then it always becomes more, 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 more. You know, it keeps upgrading. Your levels of responsibility keep upgrading, because it's not easy to get people on this level to take that position. It becomes like an extra job, a volunteer job, to ground their energy in this realm. Now, you know, both group souls have explained how to do that. And I'm going to just read their direct words since we're talking about them. And this is the Elohim, and let's see if I can open up to the right page. I wrote, this is the thing I'm going to send you guys for free if you ask. I have a thing called, a chapter called Connecting with the Elohim. And we have planes. We're right near John Wayne Airport, so if you guys want to know. And so I'll read this. And let's see here. Meet the Elohim. Just a moment, just a moment, just a moment. Question was, how can an individual have some personal experience that they're really having a connection with an interdimensional source, such as with the Elohim? What are the physical signals and evidence that would confirm that they're having a connection? Is that a good question? Yeah. Now, you guys that are listening, as I read this, you may find that they're coming into your space. So while I'm reading it, and you're out there on internet land, pay close attention to the space around you. Right now, pay attention to it and see if, as I read this, you notice any of these phenomena. Elohim, there can be light appearing to the individual, surrounding and providing a loving space around the individual. It's a love light surrounding the individual, which the individual can sense. This is one of the first signs of connection. Secondly, if a person is directed to the light, an answer may form as if a thought in the seeker or the asker. One must use discernment in accepting an answer. If an answer does not fit your question or fit your recognition of what is right, you may have been contacted by a negative source, which has intercepted the connection line. Do not ever pursue this, but reset and connect to the Elohim source or the Ra source. The source will have a resonance within you of correctness. Do not accept an answer unless it resonates as a correct and informative answer. Then I ask the question, what does a negative source have to gain in answering a question? What's their agenda? There are as many agendas as there are negative sources. A negative agenda will fit the purposes of the negative source, and the agenda is personalized according to the source. The difference between the negative source and the Elohim is that the Elohim wish to be co-creators, and the negative source wishes to imbue the subject with its purposes and agendas. You follow that? The Elohim wishes to connect with you as an equal. And it's very interesting what they say. The negative source wishes for the recipient to become a subject of this particular web of effects and consequences. The Elohim is a loving connection and is open to a two-way street of communication. The Elohim wishes to serve, wishes to have a companion with the purposes of both the Elohim and the recipient fulfilled. The Elohim considers the desires and wishes of the recipient, provided they are not self-serving. The negative source wishes to imbue the subject to their will. Did you follow that? It's pretty amazing, isn't it? So this source, which mankind has referred to as God throughout history, says they're there to be our companions. And they're there to help you fulfill your own dreams and wishes. And as long as you're not self-serving in those wishes, they will add to your energies. So that's the benefit. There was another section in this little thing. Remember, I'm giving this away for free. Here's a good question I'll read. Many people have shadows or traumas from the past in the ways they have bound themselves to this level. How can a person unravel their past traumas so they can be more open to the realities of higher dimensions and keep out of the negative realm? Elohim, they can do so by observing themselves. They can assume that they are perfect, though it does not seem to them that they are perfect. They are fighting their limitations. They are fighting their thoughts that don't seem logical or right. When an unwanted thought occurs, they fight it or push it down, or they try to get it out of their space rather than to just observe and process it from a place of neutrality. Many more times that unwanted thought is picked up from outside the being, from a location where the person is, from an outside source. Now that's an interesting thing. You have a negative thought and it's picked up telepathically because of where your body physically is. People can be telepathic to the thoughts of those in their environment. Sometimes the unwanted thought is generated from an attachment that the individual is carrying. Sometimes the unwanted thought comes from some situation or trauma that happened in the past. The only way this can be sorted out is through keen observation and not judging. Spend some time each day just observing. Even at work, say, there's that thought. What are the situations surrounding that thought? Don't judge, just observe. Don't act it out, just observe. That's one of your biggest tools for learning and processing the parameters of your situation. Ask for guidance concerning it. Ask for our guidance. Ask for the guidance of the Christ consciousness. You will receive if you ask. So, that is the Elohim. Now, where's the, here, can I have that book there? Now, I'll describe to you the difference between these two group souls. The Elohim was part of original creation, so they say. I can't remember that far back. So we'll take it at face value. There's a whole interesting chapter where they describe how they created this realm, and it's pretty far out. And Ra is a group soul that came up from the ranks of creation. In other words, they had said there's a group soul being formed right now, I think in Tibet or someplace like that. We are creating a group soul right in this moment, okay? There's a group energy, which, you see, the idea of group soul sounds really far out, but when you take it really at its simplest level, it's something that everyone understands, and that is, I've lost my glasses. You see my glasses? Oh, thanks. We have all experienced group energy. I've said this before, so if any of you heard this, I'm going to say it again because it fits in right now. We all know what group energy is. We've gone to movies. We sat in a movie and we've experienced the group energy of a we've gone to rock concerts. Some of us have had sex. I told you I was going to come back to sex. And I felt group energy during sex, where we were connected to another person. Some of us had sat in spiritual events or and with masters, and we felt group energy in that environment. You see, these are all examples of group energy, and it always feels great to feel it. The problem is that they're what you could call discontinuous energy patterns. They give you a reference point, but when you go home, you feel separated from it. How do you make a group energy that you don't feel separated from? Commitment. Commitment to something of a higher purpose that's ongoing starts at the beginning of a group energy. Like people that marry can feel a group energy for their entire life. People that have a spiritual purpose, like Jesus and his disciples, created a group energy that lasted their entire lives because they all had a common purpose. And they lived that purpose every day. And so that energy came in. As you do this, now group energies don't necessarily have to be for a higher purpose. A bunch of thieves that are robbing a bank can have group energy. But that's what you would call a discontinuous group energy, because as soon as they stop robbing banks, well, they could have a career of it. They might experience it their entire life. But it's a limited group. It doesn't expand. It's kept to that group, whereas spiritual energy will keep expanding, because it's like people in love, people feel the energy of people in love, so they like to be around them, and so that's a group energy expanding. Or we certainly saw what happened around Jesus and that group energy. And so the way you keep group energy working is keep something ongoing. That requires that energy to be present. Now, it's really easy to get screwed up on this and turn that into a doctrine, because it's not about joining, belonging. It's not about the commitment of itself, because the commitment without the energy becomes empty. So you need, there's a certain magic that's involved in being able to commit for something for the rest of your life and know the energy will always be present. It was like the Little Prince in that book, Little Prince. They said, love is not looking at each other. It's looking in the same direction. So you see, it's to some extent it's looking at each other. It's not that you can't look at each other, but without the looking in the same direction, the looking at each other winds down. You know, it's like romance. It's so beautiful, and then a few months later, where's the energy? Because there was no looking in the same direction. Now, the looking in the same direction could be having children, raising a family, and of course, people that do that tap into a group energy, and you know they seem to be happier as a result. That's what families do. But even those things are temporary. Children grow up, you know, then you have to face your spouse and who am I really with? And you don't have any common purpose at that point. And so it's the common purpose of a very high purpose, especially one that requires the presence of these group souls, that makes a group energy have momentum for your entire life. And so now some people look at that and it sounds like, you just joined a cult. What's going on? You look happy all the time. You know, it's very deceptive. Maybe it is a cult. I don't know. But it's group energy. Group energy makes people high, makes people feel good. And that's why, you know, people go to church services, sometimes come out feeling, you know, having these wonderful, great exuberances and enthusiasms. And it's real, because they participated in the group energy that just went through the whole crowd, just as watching a movie. The idea is learning how to integrate that so it's part of your life. Now, right now, it's more important than ever before to have that kind of integration, because as we've spoken of, our planet's in a dimensional shift, and that it's the ability to keep your heart chakra open, which keeps you in the higher aspect of the shift. And to keep your heart chakra open, you can't do that alone. takes others to participate with you on that. And that means you have to create a group energy with a group of people. Now, sometimes we can do it momentarily at our jobs. You know, we cheer people up. And then we go home and we're lonely and we wish, why don't I have that perfect person? And then we go looking for the perfect person. That's really a hard job. Usually people come into your life when you're not thinking about it, when you're not looking, and when you're looking happy, and when you're passionately involved in something. So it's very important to convert that energy into some active, something that you can control, rather than waiting for the right person to come into your life. Now, I read about the Elohim and how they integrate into your life. Here is the other group soul, Ra. Now, Ra, as I said, came up from the ranks, and they didn't start on this planet. They say they started on Venus, and that they had bodies like ours, and they went through an evolution, and 20% of the planet Venus graduated into the next dimension, and they kept moving, and eventually they became this group soul, which is a huge oversoul in our entire galaxy. And this is the oversoul that spoke through Edgar Cayce and David Wilcock, and perhaps was involved with Jesus. So they talk through David Wilcock. Sorry about those planes, guys. They talk through David Wilcock about how to connect with their energy. Now, of course, when I read this, as I read it, go with the words and see if you can make the connection. Because as I'm reading it, I suspect they'll be there. And their connection is a little different than the Elohim. In order to receive messages from our domain, you are required to make great personal sacrifices, including the desire for personal gain. The much greater gain comes from the rewarding of your desire to be of service. And this is a spiritual one, as well as those more physical. All of you are capable of doing this. The real question is, how much do you really want it? I think that the answer is for you to begin to believe in yourself. Begin to believe in your own dreams as solid guidance. You who read these words are learning how to use this metaphorical language because of how repetitively we phrase our sentences in this phraseology. And so as the batter steps up to the plate and prepares himself or herself accordingly, we will then make the pitch at the appropriate time. Not all of you will be able to swing and hit the ball, but we do certainly hope that more and more of you will be able to connect and indeed send this information packet to the ethers so that it may be transformed and sent back to you as a unified source of light and love vibration. When we have received this energy, we can then transform it into a much more viable source and send it back down to you as living information. The information will enter your mind as natural thoughts and feelings, and thus when you harmonize with us, you should fully expect that all of the messages and information will be going through your mind as though they were your own thoughts, ideas, and impressions. That is the fundamental key to this process. You are not going to have a force suddenly come in and seize control of you. Rather, it is a far more subtle process whereby you realize exactly how to listen to the voice of your imagination and intuition, which by then has become a moment-by-moment source of living light. So, they said, send the information packets up to the ethers, right? So let's sit here and imagine that we are sending love light energy through our head up to the ethers and that somebody's there to catch it. and to send it back down to you. That you're sending it up and it's coming down. Some of you might experience something when you do that. That is this energy, which it doesn't matter if you call it Ra, doesn't matter what you call it. It is the energy of other dimensions from positive sources coming down and supporting you. And some people who are more sensitive, when this energy comes through, will suddenly have thoughts that seem just spontaneously arise. You know, when I used to write songs and poems, I realized that I was channeling this kind of energy and didn't know what it was. I would write something, and I would feel this energy all over the top of my head, and I would never know how it was going to come out until it finished. And I said, my God, that was perfect. How did I write that? It didn't, you know. So we can all cooperate with these other energies, and it's, you know, a lot of people get their mind in the way. They say, okay, mind, okay, how does this work? How come, where are you? I want to feel it. And it's really like letting go of your mind, letting go into the moment. Imagine a ball of light around you. Imagine it interacting with other holographic light forces and being present in the middle of the universe, that each of us is a direct link between the center of all that is and our little physical presence, wherever we are, holographically. We are a walking hologram. When we talk, when we use our emotions, when we use our intelligence, we're just using them. We're not them. Use them and keep track of your energy hologram. And you can feel it. You can feel the energy. You know, perhaps for those that this is unfamiliar to, feel your body. Can you feel your body? Feel your big toe. Can you feel your big toe? Put your energy in your knee. Can you feel your knee? Can you feel your nose? Do you notice wherever your consciousness goes, your attention follows, and suddenly all you're feeling is your nose? I have a big nose, so it's a lot to feel. Now, feel the top of your head. Now, everyone can do that. Everyone can feel, can move their attention and feel different parts of their body. Now, here's where we're going to get a little tricky. Go to the top of your head and go one inch higher than your head. Can you feel the space that's one inch higher? Now go 6 inches higher. Now move your attention to the space 6 inches in front of your heart. See that there's a link between that space and your heart. And your heart is radiating into that space. And you can feel the space outside of your body. Now, how far can you feel? Shut your eyes and move your space 5 feet in front of you. Can you feel the energy 5 feet? Now, some people, you can feel it tingling or might get goosebumps. They said, I never did this before. Now, see your body and see energy 5 feet around your entire body. See like a body double of energy that extends 5 feet from your body. Can you feel that? you're now having an out of the body experience in the body. Now, those people that do remote viewing actually take this idea of taking their attention and shifting it thousands of miles away and moving their body or their attention into that area. And believe it or not, in consciousness, there's no time or space. And then they get intuitive responses from what they're perceiving. And they write it down, and oftentimes they're very accurate in what they see. This is how remote viewing works, or psychicness works. That psychicness is just another word for expanding your energy into other spaces. When we're around another person, our energy is in their energy. We feel their thoughts. We feel their emotions. If you can realize you're doing that, you could get a job as a psychic, because then suddenly their emotions are your emotions and you can tell them how they're feeling. And they don't know it's because you're them. This is like what you could call the law of one in action. You know, spirituality is a very practical thing. It doesn't have to do about believing blindly in anything. It has to do with how to experience your spiritual self, how to expand your spiritual self, how to commune with beings that are outside of your own body, human and other humans, and how to stay in the positive and out of the negative. If you can do all that, you're doing a really good job. So did that answer that question? I don't know if I answered it. You know, one of the things is just to assume, once you start practicing having this relationship with these group energies, and it takes practice to call them in and feel the connection. Do you know, if you have this experience, you can lay down in your bed and just call in the energy and breathe deeply and say, okay, I'm open to having those energies surround me, and you'll feel that presence come in. And, you know, get into practice. Then you can go out in the world and carry it with you, and even when you're around other people, you can hold that awareness of them in your space. And again, I'm calling it group souls. If you guys want to call it God or the Christed energies or whatever, you can call whatever you want. But I'm having themselves identify themselves in a way that makes a lot of sense through the channelings we've done. So group souls is what I've become used to. And that's how I think they actually are. And the neat thing about group souls is suddenly it makes sense, because they can assign a section of the group to work with you. And if you're doing really more work in the world, they can have a link to you and say they need more ammunition there, so we'll send it, okay? It's like they really pay attention to me. They don't pay attention to me because I'm a nice guy, but because I've chosen to, like, be their representative here. And so there's times when, I mean, I'm still learning. This is still a new job. But, like, I've been out of town, and then Terry, who channels them, calls me up and says they have a message for me. And suddenly I find they're paying attention to me and looking at things, and they say this, this, and this, and this. Well, I have that unique circumstance to have that, and that I wouldn't expect you guys to look for that. That's kind of unusual. But they are on my conference call. We're doing the conference calls often. Please check into my conference calls, and you may help augment your connection or keep it ongoing. Another question. I should be opening, what do we have here? 46 minutes. We have 13 minutes left to the Don and Wynn show. And for those of you that have tuned in late, this is Wynn, and I'm doing, like, talking at a workshop, and you guys are all listening, and we're just flying by the seat of our pants, which is on a cold, grassy knoll in front of the Goddess Temple of Orange County, because they took our chairs away. And so, describing it, And, of course, the Goddess Temple of Orange County is not far from the Orange County Airport. So occasionally we'll have that big roar of a plane landing over our head. So, try me on another question. Sometime we'll do this and we'll let the listeners ask questions, but I don't think we're set up to do that today. So, you have another question? She doesn't have any more questions. God. Well, you don't have any more questions? The top of your head. We were talking about the top of your head earlier, right? Right? Well, let me talk a little bit about this dimensional shift. You know, I think this is an area, this is probably the most controversial area of these messages. And it's something I don't even like to bring up. So, because you know, a lot of things are wisdom. A lot of things I can feel in the moment. I can feel the energy. You can feel the energy. Some of the people listening here are feeling the energy. And then you go into areas where I get information and I say, can this really be true? Because one aspect has to do with this dimensional shift and ascension. And this is where they explain how our planet is rising. There goes one of our planes, speaking of ascension. That's a case of artificial ascension. Huh? Our planet is going through this raising of its vibrations. And many of the people who are tuning in to BBS Radio have heard many shows and many people talk about the planet's raising of vibration. And Earth is a sentient being, like you and I. We all exist, our energy field all exists as part of the Earth's energy field. And we share, just like anything, we share with the Earth and the Earth shares with us. So our Earth is going through a state of evolution, just like we're going through a state of evolution. And the Earth is going from what's called third density to fourth density, or third chakra to fourth chakra. And it's happening right now, and it's the end of a 75,000-year cycle, and it is why the Mayan calendar ends in December of 2012. And this shift is having huge repercussions to the entire planet and everyone on it. And it's causing Earth changes, it's causing weather changes, it's causing sunspots, it's causing terrorist attacks, it's causing groups of negative beings trying to keep us in this realm and keeping us from going to higher realms. And we are alive during this period. And it's a very special period. And what's being said, and this is where it gets pretty wild, is there's going to be a division of souls. There's going to be souls that graduate into this higher dimensional Earth, this fourth chakra heart-centered Earth, and those that don't, that need to re-experience the third chakra, which is power and individuality. And so here's where it gets very far out. These group souls are explaining that those people that are going to continue to experience the third chakra are going to end up in another planet, in another star system that dedicated to third chakra and kind of start over this level of evolution, much like not graduating high school and going to college, but having to repeat high school to learn the lessons. Now, what is the lesson? When you say lessons, people immediately think I'm supposed to learn something in my mind, and that's not the case. It's about learning something in your heart. It's about learning how to be one with the things around you. It's about learning how to experience love as a direct experience, not an idea. And to experience, as I was saying earlier, extending your energy from your heart and seeing it 6 inches and 5 feet. Imagine you extended your heart energy so if you were in an office, it was around everyone else in the office. And you don't have to tell them you're doing that. People can feel it. And practice doing that, getting into a safe spot in an area where you usually don't feel open, and call in the light and be open and extend that energy. Being loving does not mean being nice. It does not mean being soft. It does not mean being supple. In fact, you almost have to be a warrior to be loving on this planet. It does mean being loving has to do with extending your heart energy into the space around you and feeling those who connect with it. And then be kind on top of that energy. Put the energy first, and then the kindness and the care. You know, you can see when the energy comes back and when it doesn't. And you don't have to exclude anybody. But it's not like being loving does not mean wear your heart on your sleeve. It does not mean be a sucker or a victim or a doormat. It takes discernment to really be loving in the physical. But you can extend your loving and you can raise the vibrations. And it is good to find people that you can share this with in the physical. Because those are people you can count on. You know, things are getting tough on our planet. And as they get tough, people are going to bond together for lower levels of reasons. They do that even when it's not tough. They bond together for survival. I want to know your contacts. If I know you, I'll know you. Maybe I'll get a favor one day. You'll owe me a favor. You know, these are all lower level reasons of connecting. And it's not that they're bad, but they're just not the same as spiritual connections. When people connect spiritually, they don't have an agenda. They don't have a reason other than the upliftment of their spiritual energies. You know, on our conference calls, we've been doing them now for about 8 or 9 months, and the people that keep checking in are making spiritual connections with each other. They are becoming friends. They're calling each other. When one gets sick, the other calls, and I mean, they're doing it for no reason to gain. And yet, it's ongoing, and I'm watching it happen. And, of course, anyone is invited to email me if they want to join the conference. Oh, there goes another flame. Join the conference call. And we read channelings, so we're reading some of this wisdom of these group souls on the conference calls, and you can get an ongoing energy, plus the wisdom of their messages. And just email me, and let me know you're interested, and I'll send you the access code with the questions and answers with the Elohim. And you can also buy my book, which I hope you do, at caycesback.com, caycesback.com. And that's the messages from the Ra group. For those that are listening for the first time, this may sound like mumbo jumbo, and that's okay. But in fact, if you check this story out, there's an amazing phenomena going on, and it's probably worth your while to read about it. You know, we constantly get great testimonials for the book. Someone said that this was the best, most, they never had so much experience, spiritual revelation in reading something since they read Autobiography of a Yogi 30 years ago. And somebody on Amazon said some of the most lucid and loving spiritual advice wisdom I've ever read. And somebody else said, finally, the direct messages from the horse's mouth explaining what's really happening on planet Earth. you know, we're going through this ascension process, through this transformation, and that the wisdom and guidance of these sources can greatly help you in your own path. And I just wanted to encourage and offer you the opportunity to know they're there. And where is Don? Because it's 6:55. Are you there, Don? Hello, Don. Don Newsom, where are you? We're supposed to be calling you in the light. Hope I'm still on the air. Looks like I am. Don, are you there? Hello, Don. Okay. What we do at the end of these calls is call in the light, which is, we've been doing that quite a bit during the course of this particular show, but it's formal. And those of you that are listening and attuning to the energies, it's a more formal presentation of those energies. So, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the energetic flow radiating from the center of our galaxy, and that wherever we are, we have this flow of energy flowing through our heads, our hearts, our solar plexus, our genitals, our knees, and our feet into the earth. And we are being human lightning rods, human ground crew, connecting those energies on the other side of the veil through our bodies and bringing them into the earth for balancing. Hello?
I'll just let you know. We're...
Don?
Yes.
I'm going to call in the light, so just let me finish.
Oh, thank you.
So, we can send this light right now to those people we know in need of healing. We can send it to our planet. We can send it to the grid work of our planet. We can send it to the grid work of our solar system. So let's just now shut our eyes and see ourselves expanded that large, and our energy is working on a celestial level, and that we can interact and intermingle with those group soul energies and have them participate with us for the highest good of all concerned. And we just take a moment of silence.